نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. The khutbah recited at the time of nikah has got one common message. All three verses have got one command. يا أيها الناس اتقوا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله في الله تعالى. When we say في الله تعالى, then you understand like someone is traveling on the road, so someone cautions him that see, there is a police. Fear the police. So what you understand, that the police has got the backing of the whole state. It's got the backing of the government. And if you violate the law, then the government will come down against you. And you won't have any defense. So when you say, fear the police, what it means, then understand there'll be a consequence. If you violate and you break the law of the land, there's going to be a genuine consequence. So the land that we are living and moving around freely is Allah's land. And when it's Allah's land, then He wants us to behave. That's a short message. Behave. And you behave, then the world becomes pleasant for you. And that's the promise of Allah Ta'ala. فَلْنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We'll give you an enjoyable and a pleasant life. But if you forget Allah Ta'ala and you do your own thing, sometimes you're doing things just to appease your friends, just to remain within your social circle, or for personal reasons, and you break some laws of Allah Ta'ala. You get a personal benefit or gain out of it. So you're doing something and you feel that you score here, but in the meanwhile you're breaking some law of Allah Ta'ala. So at that time, the friendship overwhelms the law of Allah Ta'ala, and you're not understanding, not taking cognizance of the consequence. That He is supreme, He is watching, He knows exactly what's going on in your behavior and in your mind. So nothing escapes Allah Ta'ala, everything is before Him. So when you say, understand, believe, understand consequence, this is what we refer to. Therefore Allah Pak says, مَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. That the one that is disconcerned, like you're driving and you're not concerned. So you're not concerned of the law of Allah Ta'ala, then what happens? Then the life becomes constrained. So how it becomes constrained? ضَاقَتْ عَلِهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. In spite of the vastness of your wealth, of the earth, of your belongings, you feel constricted, you feel constrained. Why you feel constrained? Because you have violated His law. So you've got everything, but you've got nothing. And on the other hand, and when you respected His law, then you've got nothing, but you've got everything. Now this is the message of taqwa, and this message of taqwa is very apparent, very manifest in the lives of our elders. Look at their lives, and you see this element of taqwa always coming up in their lives. And you don't have to be only seeing the elders, but even those who follow the line of the elders, you will see it in them as well. So, one coming in from America, he's doing a thesis for his doctorate in. And the thesis, the subject that he's got is Islam. Islam is a subject and he is required to do a thesis on this, then this will give him his doctorate certificate. So obviously if someone is working for that, he'll work very, very hard. And he'll conform to all the requirements. Whatever they want, he'll give it to them, because he knows at the end, this is what I'm going to get. So he's not worried about anything else, he's just worried about the piece of paper that he's going to get at the end. And he knows what it means. And when I hear people doing a research in Islam, it doesn't thrill me, it doesn't excite me, because in his research he will say everything and anything. And meanwhile, there'll be people that will be his bosses telling him to do it, and they want to see how we can crack Islam, how we can break Islam, what can we do, and how can we divide, how can we break, how can we create problems for them. So that's the idea, and this person is just being used as a tool. He doesn't know the grand plan, and is going in that. And we will say, hey, what a great person, what a thesis, what a article he's prepared. We don't understand these people's sinister intentions, and we just go by their talks, we go by their books, we go by their articles and their findings. So anyway, this person says that I was doing the thesis, and in my research, I had come up to Algeria, finding and looking out for the old libraries, the archives, and trying to pull out information. So whilst I was there, I saw a pair of shoes, and that shoe really excited me. It's the exact thing for me, for my climatic conditions, and for my comfort. I found that to be the best. So I went to the Grand Shoe Store downstairs, and I asked for the shoe. So the manager or the boss that was serving me, he says, no, I got the shoe, but I will request you to buy the shoe from the vendor on the street. He's got exactly the same commodity as I've got, but you buy it from him. So now, the man is quite shocked, because I want about a dozen of shoes I'm taking back to America. This was a perfect shoe. And on this whole deal, he'll make at least about 30,000 men. The profit markup is so much. And he's giving away the whole business to this person downstairs. And that person is on the street. So I said, but I want to buy it from him. I won't request, but I will now insist that you buy it from him. But I said, this really, really created curiosity in me. Okay, what was the reason that he just left the business and he asked me to go to the vendor on the street? So I asked him, but what urges you that I go to the vendor on the street? He said, you see, as concealing this is my intention between me and my Allah Ta'ala. But now that you're feeling restless, you want to know exactly why. He says, you see, I am a Muslim. And a Muslim is supposed to be considerate and respectful to his household and to his neighbor. And I'm watching my neighbor from the morning till now. There was hardly one client that walked into his shop. My shop is roaring, I'm doing the business, and he's doing nothing. And our Islam insists and demands that we be considerate in our household, on our neighbors. So if I can't be considerate and respectful to him, then it's not worth the name. I'm a Muslim by name, but I got no concern, no feelings, and no respect for my neighbor who's not doing the turnover. So that is why. So he says, you know, I did this research, I'm coming to the tail and just ending this. In all that research, nothing ever impressed me. The thing that impressed me and caught my attention was this person's behavior. That he insisted that I go to this person and do the business with him and not with me. This is what caught my attention, and I then declared, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the world has seen enough literature now. A lot of articles, YouTube, everything. So a lot they've seen. They heard and they read a lot, and they come across a lot. But what they're starving for is Islam alive. They want to see it alive. Is it a living religion? Is something of the past, is something that is practical and applicable in this life, in this modern age, or is something that was applicable and practical for the past, not for today. So that's what the world is starving for, in order to see this. I just end up with another story of taqwa. One great sheikh, great buzurg, very young, 20, 25 years of age, and he had a psoriasis condition from his head to his feet. He's sitting in a place and just coming out, you know? It's just scaling off. And as a result, now he's of age, marriageable age, over 25, and he's not marrying. So his students and murids are insisting that, why don't you get married? So he says, you see, I am a Muslim, I need to be considerate to the person that's coming to my marriage, to my home. And you see my skin condition, really, it's going to be nauseating to that person, to the wife-to-be. And when it's going to be nauseating, then do I live up to the levels of taqwa? Do I have a concern for her? Or I'm just concerned about my happiness and my comfort. Whatever happens to her is her business, and I'm just concerned about myself. So anyway, he maintained this. Eventually, after some persuasion, one murid came in, and he says, no, I've spoken to my daughter. She's beautiful as ever. And she insists that she wants to be in your marriage in spite of your skin condition. That's everything what she wants to be. So he reminded her, you know my skin condition, and you see the thing just scaling out, and the mess that I create wherever I sit. So I had to take a shawl and just gather all that in the shawl and throw it after that. So no, she knows about everything, I've explained everything, and she insists that she wants to be in your marriage. Anyway, now he's got no excuse, because that was his concern, that am I going to damage someone's life, innocent person, sinless person, and I'm taking her into my life just for my happiness, and inconsiderate towards her, it's not going to be right. If it's not going to be right, then Allah Pak will not see me favorably. I won't have that level of happiness. Happiness, must remember, is not in that material that we see. We think it's a material, no. It's a divine gift. It comes into the heart, into the mind. You got something or you haven't got it, but Allah Pak blesses. Then the nikah is made. And now, when the bride sees the groom, she sees him as handsome as ever. No psoriasis, no skin condition, and the beauty on the face, nose is thin, slim body, too perfect, skin is absolutely right. So she turned away, said, no, you aren't the person that my husband, my father spoke about. She said, no, genuinely I am the person. But my father said that you've got this type of a skin condition, and I see you free of any stain, no blemish on your body. So maybe it's the wrong person, it's a mistake, so I'm the person. Then how do you explain this? How do you reconcile? Said, no, before I could come to you, I cried, went to sajda, and cried to Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala, this girl, she's so pious, and in spite of my skin condition, she still wants to do my service. So Allah Ta'ala, as long as I'm in her presence, keep me clean, free of all the stains, free of all this ailment that I've got. And then when I'm out of her sight, then I can be like normal. So Allah Ta'ala accepted my dua. So she said, no, I'm not happy. Why? Because then how will I get the sawab for enduring? See, now if you're going to be pleasant and handsome before me, then am I going to get the sawab for enduring this ailment of yours? So if you want me to come back into your nikah, then you reverse the dua. The dua, you must be like normal, and I will endure, and I will also get the sawab. Like you, a great saintly person, then I must also match up and be eligible for the reward that you're going to get. So this lesson of taqwa, this is a forgotten lesson. You're reading a lot, you're seeing a lot, you're talking a lot, but how much do we apply this lesson of taqwa in our personal lives, our domestic lives, our business life, our social life, our masjid life? This is the missing link between us and the special favor of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant me, grant all of us. Mawlana Huzaifa is the bride's representative. He's already given permission. brother Ahmad Patel. I make over Zainab Qasim in your nikah with a mihr of some gold jewelry. Ahmad by Patel, you accept Zainab Qasim in your nikah. Say nakahtuha. Say I've accepted her in my nikah. Barakallahu lakuma wa barak alaykuma wa jama'a bainakuma fi khayr. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Salatu wassalamu ala rasulil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. اللهم اشرح صدورنا للإسلام وحبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والنسيان. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وسلم. Juma namaz, khutbah is of recital, Juma namaz is under. But the top khutbah is preferable, it is read to you, it's up, it is good as the time to do the khutbah, to do the khutbah. So we want the blessing of practicing our sunnah.